Today is the second of this summer's all-age services. As Jeff has indicated, the children are with us throughout the service. In the teaching of these three services, we're looking at fear and how to properly handle fearful situations. As I mentioned last time, being fearful can be a complex issue. It can take much time and prayer to discover what may be at the heart of our fears. Sometimes even some of our responses, we don't even see that it's fear that's driving the way we act. There are, however, some basics to consider, and in these messages, I want to present a few simple truths, but I recognize at the same time it's wrong to approach dealing with fear simplistically. Habitual responses, deeply ingrained thinking, usually does not change overnight. But with God's help, our thinking can be renewed. God's Word is sufficient to help us. Last time we recognized that all of us struggle with fear. How many of you were here last time we talked about fear? You guys weren't. You were here, I remember that. Because you came up with Ian. The two of you came up. You were first up last time too. I asked how many of the adults were afraid of things. And I had you kids turn around and look, and there were a lot of hands up there. So whether you're young or old, fear is something we often struggle with. The emotion of fear is not necessarily always bad. It can equip us, get our bodies moving so that we can move out quickly. Paul, did you move out quickly from the house?
No.
No? One way to break the control of fear is to focus on the truth. Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, told them to think on things that were true, and the God of peace would be with them. In the Psalms, we are told to treasure God's word in our hearts that we not sin against God. Now, those of you who were here, do you remember what specific truth we looked at? I told you, if you remember anything, remember this, to help us to handle properly fearful situations. What was the truth? I even gave you a Bible verse. Do any of the kids remember? Adults? So, 2 weeks ago, I realized the heat sort of bakes things out of our minds. It's just, what was the truth that is very important to remember when we are dealing with fear?
God is with us.
That's good. Close to the verse, Psalm 119:68. God is good. Well, the verse says, you are good. What you do is good. Teach me your decrees. To remember that God is good, the things He does are good, and we need to learn God's word to deal with those situations. To fight against wrong responses to fearful situations, we should fill our minds with the truth. And one important truth is that God is good, and what He does is good, even allowing those things that cause us to be afraid. This morning we want to look at another aspect of handling fear, although it's not completely unrelated. Now, I brought an illustration along with me here. The glass is rather full of water. I'm not sure how well you can see in the back. I think those in the furthest back cannot see it, but the kids can. I also brought some stones along with me. You might remember them from earlier. What's going to happen when I start putting stones in this water?
The water will get higher.
The water will get higher, right. I wonder how many stones I can put in there. What's going to happen if I keep putting stones in? It'll spill. Why is it going to spill?
It gets higher and higher.
Why does it get higher and higher?
Because if the water needs space, the stones are taking space.
Right. The water needs space, and the stones are taking the space that the water needs. So the water has to rise. And we just keep adding more and more and more. How many think I can get in before it spills? Okay, no. It's actually over the edge now, but it hasn't spilled yet. Almost. It spilled?
Nope.
Nope. We're watching. Oh, there it goes. Finally went over. Well, it did a little bit. Maybe I threw a big one. How about this one? Oh! Is that enough? Okay. Nope, it'll stop. Until I add more stones. Stones are solid. They're not like sponges. And there's no place for the water when you put the stone in. Now, the Bible reading this morning, if you listened carefully to what it said, in 1 John 4, verse 18 says, "There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear." Love drives out fear or displaces fear. Fear and love cannot occupy the same place. And love is the greater force. You put a stone in here, the stone forces the water out. Of course, I have to put a couple more in because that last splash was pretty big. If it was a sponge, it would soak it up. If it were a piece of cork, it would float on top. But the stone forces it out. Love displaces fear. There's no place in us for fear when we're filled with love. Now, a person loves. A person loves something or some person. To understand what perfect love is, we have to first know who is loving what or whom. Now, in the Bible reading, some of the older ones, if you have your Bible, you want to look at it. All of you have your Bibles with you. You might want to turn to 1 John 4. The context in 1 John, particularly in chapter 4, tells us about three different combinations of someone loving someone else. Can you tell me what they are? There's three combinations of someone loving someone else. Someone has a Bible open. Would you read, please read verse 11. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. Nice and loud.
Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
Okay. What is one? Who is loving whom? There's two of them in that verse. God loves us. Good. What's the next one? We love one another. Okay. It's talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, can someone read verse 21?
And he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother.
Okay, it's repeated the loving his brother, but it's added a third one now. Who is loving whom that we haven't mentioned yet? Excuse me? No, that's when we've already talked about God loving us. Jeremy?
And we love something.
We love something, yeah. What are we supposed to be loving in this verse? Listen.
We love love.
Nope. Okay, I'll read the verse again. He has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother.
Whoever loves God.
It's talking about us loving God. So we have those three. God loves us as believers. We are to love one another, brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are to love God. Now, God's love for us is foundational. It says God is love. We love, it says there, because he first loved us. We love one another because his love is in us. Now it says, perfect or mature love drives out fear and involves three things. Each one is based upon one of these three directions of someone loving someone else. Perfect or mature love involves the extent to which we trust or believe in the love of God. Verse 16 says, and so we know and rely on or believe the love God has for us. God is love. As we trust or believe God's love for us, we displace fear. It involves the extent to which we love one another. Verse 12. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected or made mature in us. So as we love one another, we are driving out fear in our lives. Perfect or mature love involves the extent to which we love God by obeying him. In the immediate context, the commandment is to love one another. Just three verses further, in verse 3 of chapter 5, it says, "This is love for God, to obey his commands." In chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "Whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected." As we love God, as we trust in his love for us, we are driving out fear. Just like adding stones to this water, it will drive out fear. As we grow or are perfected in these three directions, fear is driven out. Love takes the place that fear occupied. Now, perhaps the easiest one to understand is love toward God, which displaces fear. When we love God, we obey his commands. John says that in his, quoting Jesus in his gospel and in his first letter. When we disobey God, we will fear meeting him. We avoid his presence. Do you know what the very first example was? Very first mention of someone being afraid?
Big dog?
No, in the Bible. In the Bible, the very first mention of someone being afraid. You don't know, just stretching your arm. Okay. Adults, what's the very first mention? Adam. You can't get further back in the human race than Adam. Whom did they fear? Adam and Eve. And Jeremy? Nope. It'd be good if they had. God. They feared God. Why did they fear God? They used to walk with him in the garden.
Because
they had sinned. They had sinned, and their eyes were open. They knew they were naked, and they heard God coming. And they went and hid themselves. And God said, "Where are you?" He said, "Well, we hid ourselves. We were afraid." They ran and hid themselves. They were afraid because they had disobeyed God. They had not loved him. There's another well-known figure in the Bible, a person. He tried to run away from God. He got on a ship to sail as far away as possible from God's presence. Who was that?
Jonah,
right. Jonah was afraid. He said, I don't want to be reminded of God anymore. Why did he run away from God? Because God told him to go somewhere that he didn't want to go, and so he disobeyed God, and he didn't want to be near God. In the New Testament, specifically in Romans, we are told that people who break the law rightly fear rulers. Have you ever had the experience? You saw a flash, adults will understand. You're driving along, and suddenly there's a flash of light. What's your first reaction? You look down at your speedometer and you wonder what was going on. Why? Because we know we're afraid of getting a ticket. I might have been breaking the law. That was happening in our street the other night. I drove by and some kid was hanging out the window taking flash pictures. Every time a car, I stopped, I looked, I watched. Every time a car went by, he leaned out and flashed his camera. Oh, I thought of doing that sometimes. I never had the courage to. We fear God and others when we've done wrong. We talked to our daughter, Anne, yesterday. Anne's grown up. She got to talking about things she remembered when she was at home growing up. And she remembered taking her teddy bear to the playground, and it lost an eye. And when she came home, she was afraid to tell us. And Kathy immediately asked, "Why were you afraid to tell us?" I think Kathy, you probably felt the way I did. Were we such parents that our child would be afraid to come and tell us that her teddy bear had lost an eye? Well, she remembered the occasion better than we did. She said, "No, I took it and hid it because I wasn't supposed to take my teddy bear to the playground." And she was afraid to say it lost an eye because she wasn't supposed to take it. She was afraid because she had done wrong. People live in fear when they do wrong things. Proverbs 28 says, "The wicked man flees, though no one pursues." People run away in fear, even when there's nothing there. They imagine something's there. When they don't do what's right and do what's wrong, they're thinking someone's out to get them. If we want to get rid of these type of fears, we need to love God by keeping His commandments. We need to do what He says. When we tell the truth and don't lie, we don't have to be afraid of getting caught in the lie. It's replacing fear with love. We love God, we tell the truth. And then the fear of being caught in a lie disappears. There can be no fear of being caught in a lie when we've told the truth. If we don't steal or cheat, we don't have to be afraid of getting caught and found out that we cheated in school. Oh, what if they found out I copied from my friend? Oh, and you're afraid of getting caught. Well, if you hadn't done what was wrong, you wouldn't have that fear. If we were careful not to speed or park illegally, we don't have to fear about getting a ticket. That's one that adults can add there. When we love God by obeying His word, that love displaces fear. Now, loving one another is a specific command which we are to obey. And it's worth considering for itself. It's the second most important command. When Jesus was asked, "What's the most important command?" He says, "Love God, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." It's also the command in the immediate context of 1 John 4. Loving our brothers and sisters in Christ displays the love of God in us. Now, you've already mentioned one of the things that a lot of people here were afraid of, or a lot of hands went up. That was dogs.
I'm not afraid of dogs.
You're not afraid of dogs. That's good. My wife is afraid of dogs. At least big dogs. Big dogs that aren't on a leash and that growl. She's not too happy with them. But there were times that you would not think that that was the case. Once she was out with our second oldest son, who was then only 4 years old. I think Anne was probably in a stroller, in a baby buggy or perambulator, whatever your language is for that. And a big, shaggy dog got loose and ran up to our son and knocked him down. And Kathy went after that dog like she could have killed it. In fact, she mentioned that. I asked permission if I could tell this story. As well as Anne, I asked, "Can I tell this story?" I'm not telling it out. I asked permission from my family first before I give such details. Luckily for the dog, the owners got to it first. Why did she attack that dog when she's afraid of dogs?
Because the dog hurt someone that she loved.
Because the dog hurt someone that she loved. The dog was attacking our son. She loved her son, and it didn't matter if she was afraid of dogs. That fear was suddenly secondary. She could not have both in her. Either she loved her son and was going to protect him, or she was afraid of dogs. Couldn't react both ways. You had to react one way or the other. She loved, and the fear was displaced. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7 describes love as God means it to be. Looking at these verses can help us understand loving one another. And we can't go through all of them. I'll read the passage and pick out one or two examples. It says, "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres." Now, loving others cannot be seen merely as a way to get rid of our fears. As we have fears, we think, "Well, if I just loved others right, I'd get rid of my fear." Well, that's self-seeking, and then that's not love. We've just defeated our purpose if we look at it as just a way of helping ourselves. It's no longer love. We need to really ask God to help us to love others, truly and honestly love others. And those who are children of God will be able to do that because that is part of what the Spirit produces in us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So as we submit to God and God works in us, love will be something that happens. Now, one example on this list, love does not boast. It's not proud. Why do people boast? Oh, look what I did. Did you see what grade I got in my paper? I got the best grade. I got the best grade. You ever hear someone doing that? Yeah. Why do they do that?
Because they feel good.
Because they feel good. Okay. Why do they tell others that they feel so good?
Because they love others.
They love others? No. How do you feel when someone's saying, I got a better grade than you did? Do you feel good about that? No. No, I don't think they're loving you when they're going around saying, I got a better grade than you did. Ha, ha, ha. No. Why do people boast?
Because they hate others.
Because they hate others. Well, if it wasn't the one, it may be the other. They're certainly not loving others. That's true. But you know, most people, I think, when they boast, it's because they're afraid. They're afraid. They're afraid that others don't think enough of them. Well, they don't think I'm good enough. I'll let them know. They're afraid that they're not valued. Well, nobody thinks I'm all that good. I'm going to let them know that I'm good at something. So they tell others about it. It just comes across initially as, oh, that person's really proud and boastful. But when you start asking questions, many times there's fear behind that. There's fear that people don't think highly enough of them. And boasting's not loving. It's thinking more of myself than others. We want to get attention for ourselves and not give it to others. When we seek to love others, we don't boast about ourselves, but we draw attention to them. We find out how they're doing, and we ask how they feel, and we encourage them if they got a poor grade. And if they got a good grade, we say, well, that's really great. I'm really glad that you got a good grade. And when we start doing that, you know what happens? There's no place in our heart for fear, because we have replaced fear about what others think of us with love and thinking about them. There's no place for fear when love takes place in our heart. This says that love keeps no record of wrongs. I know someone that's a favorite in the list. Keeping a record of wrongs means reminding the other person or ourselves or telling others of all the wrong things that person has done. We've got that recording and we play it back at appropriate times. Either in our own mind, oh, I remember that person. I'm not going to talk with that person again. I remember what they did to me. Or we tell that person, well, I remember when you did that. Do you remember when you did that? Or even worse, we tell others. Now, do you know people who will not let you forget the wrong things you have done? Adults, if you ever break a dish as a child, and 30 years later, you're still being reminded how you dropped that dish. Do you recall the wrong things that others have done? Do you ever play that back in your mind? I hope not. Why do we do this? Why do we let things play back in our mind? Well, certainly your answer before, we don't love them. That's true. Sometimes we want them to be punished. We want to see justice done. This wasn't right. I want to make sure justice is done. We want perhaps to be proven right. Essentially, we are afraid that justice will not be done. We are afraid that we won't get the good that should have come to us. We're afraid that they won't recognize that we were right and they were wrong. Our choice not to keep records of wrongs cannot exist with the fear of not being proven right. We cannot think both. If I'm afraid of not being proven right, I'm going to keep that record. And if I said, I don't care if I'm proven right or not, I'm going to set this aside. We have just done what was loving, and that fear is gone. We have chosen the love, and that has driven out that fear. It displaces it. As we love one another, we're loving God and will not fear Him. As we love one another, that love dispels our fears. Perfect love drives out fear. Final type of love which displaces fear is actually our trust in God's love. 1 John 4:16, and we know and rely on or believe the love God has for us. God is love. If we have come to God through Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sin, then we have trusted God's love to that extent. Now that's basic. We cannot become God's children without trusting God's love that He sent Jesus to die for our sins. And we accept that. We believe who Jesus was and what He has done. And then we become children of God. We have relied on God's love to that extent. But that's just the start. That's just the basis for what goes on. There's more to understanding the love of God than our initial salvation. Paul wrote in Romans, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? He gave us Jesus to die for us, to give us forgiveness. And if He gives that big a gift, there's so much more that comes along. Sometimes I think we believe that God loved us enough that Jesus would die for us, but somehow we get disconnected from the love later on. We say we believe God is love. I think if I ask here, do you believe God is love? We would say yes. It's very clear in the Bible. God is love. We say, yes, we believe that. Do you believe you're always connected with that love? There are times when things are going well, we'll say, yeah. And other times we wonder, maybe God wants that so we can learn. Yeah, God sends us some very tough things sometimes so that we can learn more about Him. When we fear things, we might be thinking we are disconnected from God's love. Now, you know, I asked before, what are some of the things that people fear? You remember? Swiss, cited last two weeks ago, two top things that people fear. Remember what they are? Getting very sick or losing your job. We talked about fearing dogs. There's a lot of things. A lot of things in this world that maybe we don't fear that others fear. Maybe going hungry, getting up, not having enough food for the day, being persecuted. Bad things do happen. Some people are really sick. Some people have lost jobs. Many people fear both. In some places of the world, people are going hungry. They do not have enough food. Others are persecuted. And if the troubles that we have now are not enough, there's the future. And all the things we can think about that could happen in the future. What will happen tomorrow, the next day? Some fear dying. Others are afraid of living. Can you imagine that? But if you're in pain, and you know you have something that it's not bad enough to kill you, but people are afraid, what would I have to do to live with this for another 20 years? Can I go on? They're afraid of living. Now Paul, when he wrote this verse about giving us freely all things, what he goes on to talk about is really amazing. That was in Romans chapter 8. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Some people fear that. Oh, somebody's going to point a finger at me someday. God may say, what has done? It's God who justifies. Who is He that condemns? Well, no one can condemn, because Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God. And He is also interceding for us. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, here's the point. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, neither angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Absolutely nothing. And Paul wasn't speaking out of a lack of experience. You can go elsewhere when he lists the things that he suffered. He suffered shipwreck. I won't ask if anybody's here afraid of flying, but I know some people that are deathly afraid of flying. They'll go to great lengths to do anything. Go by ship, take trains, just so they don't have to fly. Well, I'm not sure if Paul suffered from fear of ships, but he had a number of shipwrecks, and I bet he sometimes thought twice before he got on. In fact, we know in the one in Acts when they were getting ready to go, it was late in the year, he said, look, I think this is going to end up in a shipwreck. He'd already experienced a few on his in his life. And he even spent time floating in the sea, whole day waiting to be rescued. He went without food. He was persecuted. He was beaten. These aren't things that he was just making up. These are things he experienced. And he said, I am not separated from the love of Christ through these things. So what did that mean? What did he have fears? Did Paul have fears? Was he ever afraid? Yeah, he had those emotions. And sometimes God actually appeared to him. Came in a dream, in a vision, and said, Paul, do not be afraid. This is what's going to happen. He had those fears, the emotions, but he acted in a way that was right. That's how we handle fear, the emotion. We choose to do what's right, even though the emotion's there, and we say, oh, I don't know if I like getting on the ship again. Well, I have to do this because I am going to do what God has called me to do. I'm not sure I should share the gospel with this person. What do they think of me? Well, I love this person. They need to know. If they don't hear the gospel, they're going to be lost. So we choose to do what God wants us to do. And we trust that no matter what happens, even if the person reacts and is mad at me, and hits me, that's okay, because that does not separate me from the love of God. God loves me. And there are certain fears then that cannot exist. When I believe that God loves me, and no matter what happens, I will do what He wants me to do, and I will not fear the results. I may have that emotion, but I will do what's right. Fear does not control me. Instead, the love of Christ controls me. It's Christ's love for me that I know I have. Love is perfected in us when it becomes mature in us. Fear of these things will not control us. Love drives out controlling fear. Love is perfected in us. It becomes mature in us when we love God by obeying Him. When we love one another. And when we trust in God's love for us, perfect love drives out fear. Like a stone, these stones that displace the water, I still have a little bit of room left. Perfect love drives out, displaces fear. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You have loved us. You have displayed that love for all the world to see by sending Your Son to die in our place. We can have forgiveness of sin, life in Him. And there's nothing that will separate us from Your love. All the hardship that can come in life, the pain that some feel, the loss of home, the loss of job, which some have experienced even here, is not an evidence of a separation from Your love. But You are loving us, even in these situations. Help us to trust you, to believe in your love, to love one another, to obey your commands. And as we choose that, to see the fears that we have dispelled, chased away, because your love is greater. We thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.